Interpol's gonna get ya. Interpol's gonna get ya. Interpol's gonna get ya.
Hello, beautiful humans. I'm Tymie Castle.
And I'm Benjamin Mead.
And you're listening to Just a Minute. Just a Minute is an educational podcast where we break down justice topics in 30 minutes or less. Today's topic, the International Criminal Police Organization, a.k.a. Interpol.
Yeah.
Hello, and thanks for joining us. Hello, Ben.
Hello, hello, Tymie, and to our listeners as well.
Yes.
Thank you for tuning in.
So did you know that Interpol is a band? That there's a band, a famous band named Interpol?
No.
Okay, well, there is, but we're not talking about that today.
I knew there was a band called The Police, and I thought about maybe looking for like police songs to do for my spin, but
just
to keep you on the edge of your seat, I went in a different direction.
Okay, good. Well, there actually is a band called Interpol.
Okay. What's their most famous song?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong person. I think probably Zach knows.
It seems like a band
that he would be into. So when he's listening to this, he's going to be like, idiots, this famous song that you guys have heard. I know they had an episode, like a song in an episode of Friends that was kind of famous, but... Anyway, let's get back to it.
Back to
in the recent,
the, not the band,
not
Interpol,
the band,
the
no.
real Interpol.
Yes. So in the recent ICC episode, International Criminal Court, which hopefully you've listened to if you're now listening to this, I promised to discuss Interpol in the next episode. And so we're doing that today. But there were no interesting Google reviews for Interpol. They were all pretty like normal. Like it is a beautiful building. So a lot of people commented on the architecture, but it didn't have all the amazing war crime reviews. So I thought we'd go back to a quiz instead.
Okay.
You ready for your Interpol quiz?
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay. So I just want...
I'm going to bomb this one, I think. But,
wanted to tell you that I didn't come up with this. I took it directly from their website.
Oh, okay.
They actually have a quiz. These are what's on the quiz, and you can hit true and false, and you get the answers.
Nice.
So I completely stole it from Interpol.
Oh. Well, I was looking at these, and I'm thinking, like, oh, like these are good questions.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the answer to them, but I can come up with something.
Yeah. It's it's Interpol's work, not mine. So just to everybody I didn't plagiarize. I just, you know, we're talking about it. So, okay ready for number one?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. Only police can work at Interpol. True, false?
I'm going to say false.
Correct.
Because even if you look at like a regular PD, you've got more than police working there. You've got like, you know, analysts and accountants and those
records.
Types of things. So I'm going to say false.
Ding,
final
ding.
Answer. Yes.
The General Secretariat employs around 1,000 staff members from 100 different countries. So approximately one third are police officers deployed by their governments, while two thirds are international civil servants recruited by the organization. See, I left the answers out of your copy of the script so you couldn't cheat.
Well, I wouldn't do that anyway.
Okay, number two. Interpol releases an international arrest warrant in the form of a red notice.
I'm going to say true because that sounds really cool. Like you're on red notice. So you get on the red notice list and then like Liam Neeson comes and tracks you down.
Right.
So true is my guess.
False. So they do have a red notice. That's what's confusing. But the red notice is an international wanted person's notice. It is up to each country to decide what legal status they give the notice and whether or not to arrest the subject of the notice.
So the red notice is like a wanted list.
Yes.
Not like an arrest warrant.
Yeah. It's up to the country to get the person.
Gotcha.
Number three, Interpol can force someone to be extradited.
I'm going to say false for this one because I would imagine like, I don't know a lot about this, but I watch Star Trek and they have like, you know, extradition between planets and stuff. But if you don't have a treaty, you can't be extradited. So well, I would imagine Interpol can't force someone to be extradited if you don't have a treaty. Extradition treaty between the countries that you're talking about.
So correct, but for the wrong reason, because there is a treaty for Interpol, but they're not involved with extradition requests.
Gotcha.
Their extraditions are made on a bilateral basis between national authorities. What's funny is I noticed that, you know, because I copied and pasted these true false statements directly from their website, and they actually have a typo where it says Interpol can force someone to be expedited instead of extradited.
I saw that.
Did you notice
then
that?
I think it's like that has
it
to
wasn't
be extradition.
Mine. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay, number four. Interpol is a member of the United Nations.
I'm going to say false. Interpol is not a nation, so it's not part of the United Nations, or it's not an organ.
A judicial
of the UN
organ.
Either. Yeah,
yeah, mm-hmm. A principal judicial mm-hmm. organ.
Right. No, it's not that.
You're correct.
Yes.
Yeah. So Interpol is not a member of the UN and is not a part of the UN system. Mm-hmm. They are an intergovernmental body with 196 member countries, but they do work alongside the UN in some of their activities. Mm-hmm. Okay, number five. Mm-hmm. Interpol has agents on undercover assignments in all regions of the world.
I'm going to say fault. They're not in Antarctica.
Yeah, true.
But I'm also guessing that sounds something more like CIA, or they're not like an undercover right. agency, I'm guessing. So right. I'm going to say fault.
Correct. So directly from their website, this is their answer to mm-hmm, that. Mm-hmm. Contrary to the Hollywood image of Interpol, yeah. which, by the way, yeah. I've never seen a Hollywood image of Interpol mm-hmm. in any movie, so I have no idea mm-hmm. what they're talking about or referring mm-hmm. to. But the General Secretariat does not send officers on undercover assignment. All investigations and arrests are carried out by national police, mm-hmm. again, in their own country.
Yeah.
You're seeing a pattern here, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm going to save the best one for last, and I'm going to skip to number seven. So Interpol can send response teams to disasters such as bombings and earthquakes.
I'm going to say true on this. Maybe they're like international first responders. I
correct.
Don't know. True.
Yes. Oh, gosh. They can deploy what's called an incident mm-hmm. response team to help mm-hmm. with emergency responses to large scale accidents or natural disasters okay. or to major mm-hmm. crime scenes.
Gotcha.
Okay. Saving nice. The best for last.
Okay.
You should be careful where you buy spare parts for your car because they could be counterfeit.
True. I don't know what this has to do yeah. with Interpol, but definitely caveat emptor, buyer beware.
Again, I did not create this quiz. This was just kind of the random yeah. mm-hmm. in there. Mm-hmm. It didn't really make yeah. sense, but I don't know, maybe they're using it as an awareness tool, right? Yeah.
Do they not have a response to that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. There is an illicit market in spare vehicle parts, mm-hmm. which has been exacerbated mm-hmm. by the use of the internet in recent years. Mm-hmm. This is lucrative for criminals, but can put drivers in danger because they don't meet safety standards.
Okay. Yeah. Interpol, get on those counterfeit car parts.
Yeah. It's funny. They might have included in that answer how mm-hmm. they deal with this or how it's a part of what they do. But yeah. anyway, mm-hmm. it's just kind of a random.
All right. So I missed two. Yeah. Missed two. Got five right. So did better than I thought I would.
Yeah.
But a lot of those were guesses. So
yeah.
Anyway.
So the true false quiz hints at one of the biggest misconceptions about Interpol is that it's an international police force.
Yeah.
Right. So also adding to that confusion is that they call themselves an international police organization.
We're an international police organization, but we're not an international police
yeah, but
agency.
We're not police. So it's not a supranational police force. And mm-hmm. by supranational, we mean above nations.
Yeah.
So it's not just not that,
gotcha.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Interpol is what we call an intergovernmental organization, or also known as IGO. Mm-hmm. And this refers to an entity created by treaty. Mm. So remember I said we're coming back to treaty, right? Yeah. Involving two or more nations to work in good faith on issues of common interest. So Interpol's main charge is to share and access data on crimes and criminals. And they do offer a range of technical and operational support to member nations.
Okay, nice. So how did it start, Interpol, and who comprises this international police agency that is not
that
police.
Is not a police force? It was founded in 1923 at the close of an international police conference in Vienna, Austria, but it did not become the Interpol that we know until the 1950s. So unfortunately, it came under control of Nazi Germany in 1938. Mm. So, you know, that's what you want is Nazi Germany having, you know, control of Interpol.
Not.
Yeah.
Boo.
But it was stagnant throughout the war. So the 1950s version of Interpol is kind of what we see now. Mm-hmm. The current emblem of Interpol was adopted in 1950, and it includes the following elements. There's a globe that indicates worldwide activity.
Nice.
All of branches represent peace.
Cool.
The sword represents police action because police stab folks with a sword.
Super cool.
Yeah. The scales signify justice, and also in the emblem are the acronyms mm-hmm. OIPC and ICPO, representing the full name of the organization in both French and English, respectively.
Nice.
So those are two of the official languages. The other two are Arabic and Spanish.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So the General Secretariat coordinates day-to-day activities, and the office staff includes mm-hmm. also a Secretary General.
So is a Secretary, is that a person
or
is that an office?
The General Secretariat is the office.
Okay.
Yeah. And so the Secretary General is the person. And then gotcha. It includes staff made up of both police mm-hmm. and civilians.
Gotcha.
The headquarters is in Lyon, France, but each country has an Interpol National Central Bureau, or what's called an NCB. Mm-hmm. In the U.S., ours is in D.C., and it provides the central point of contact for the General Secretariat and other NCBs. An NCB is run by national police officials and usually sits in the government ministry responsible for policing. Mm-hmm. Does it for us because we don't have a government ministry responsible for policing. But in other countries, that's what happens. The General Assembly is the governing body, and it brings all the countries together once a year to make decisions.
Mm-hmm. So what is it, you know, we don't have police, not police. So what does Interpol have to do with the police if they mainly why do they call themselves a police agency and then say we're not a police agency?
Well, that's I still don't understand because their main organizational objective mm-hmm. is to establish direct systems of communication and information exchange mm-hmm. between police.
Gotcha.
So they're involved in police communication and cooperation, so maybe that's why mm-hmm. obviously police use their services, and police are staff members. Mm-hmm. So the methods that they use to accomplish cooperation are these various color-coded notices, including most famously the red notices.
Yeah, which I got that question wrong.
So the red notices, what those mean, it's a request to locate and provisionally arrest for extradition purposes a suspect wanted for prosecution or to serve a sentence. Mm. They also have, for example, blue notices, which request information about a person's identity, location, or activities in connection with a criminal investigation. Mm-hmm. Interpol has a communications system. The one that the police use, it's called I-24-7, which makes mm-hmm. sense.
Nice.
And it's a secure network that connects national police agencies to each other and the General Secretariat. So it also allows them to access the databases and services in real time from both central and remote locations. So Interpol also coordinates networks of police and experts in different crime areas who come together through working groups and at conferences to share their experiences and ideas. So on my, I think I've told you this story before, mm-hmm. maybe, but on my first study abroad trip in 2012, I took students to the headquarters in Lyon, France. This mm-hmm. is not the same group where my student passed out at the ICC. That was later.
Nobody passed out. Interpol.
No, but it is a gorgeous building. Mm-hmm. So during that trip, so police officers from other countries do rotations there to learn mm-hmm. how to use these databases. Because mm-hmm. even though a country can access it, they may not know what to do with the information mm-hmm. or how to use it. So there were two officers, maybe three, I don't remember now. That mm-hmm. was like more than 10 years ago, that gave presentations to our students. Mm-hmm. And one was an FBI agent from the U.S., which they were very excited to, you know, meet an FBI agent in Lyon, France Interpol. And the other was an Italian police officer working in organized crime. Mm-hmm. And he was so like right out of a detective novel. Mm-hmm. He was Italian, so he was dressed in this really nice suit. And he had this kind of way of speaking. You know, he's mm-hmm. using his hands. And we saw him outside smoking. And he was just like your stereotypical.
I was going to say, did he have a trench coat and a cigarette?
Yes. I mean, he was very cool looking. But a couple of my students did fall asleep during those presentations. So
weirdos.
Anyway, so yes, we did mm-hmm. go there and the building is great. Mm-hmm. We weren't allowed to take pictures inside, mm-hmm. but really you're just looking at big rooms mm-hmm. of like hundreds of television sets and hundreds of computers. And there were analysts mm-hmm. who are fluent in all of those languages, mm-hmm. just recording information.
Oh, nice. So other than that, like they, you know, they share data, they network, they organize this international data for police agencies, what other things do they do or services do they offer?
Yeah, so the training is part of what they offer, but they also do investigative support that mm-hmm. includes forensics, other analysis, and assistance in locating fugitives.
Nice.
So the On their website, they state that they primarily focus on four global areas that they consider the most pressing today: terrorism, cybercrime, organized crime, and financial crime and anti-corruption. So officials working in each of these specialized crime areas run a variety of different activities, including field operations.
So these four global areas, these are like specific crimes or international crimes that Interpol focuses on?
Yeah, so this is, we haven't actually introduced this term before, so I wanted to do that because this is what's under Interpol's purview or what they're interested in. But they mainly focus on transnational crimes, and we've not used that word before. So transnational crimes are violations of criminal law that involve a cross-national component. So,
like we, in the U.S., we say interstate crime. Like
It
happens across state lines.
Yes.
Transnational is just across country lines.
And it's confusing because people might think that's called international crime, but it's not. It's crimes that are crimes in multiple countries and they just cross borders. but they also focus on violations of international law. So with terrorism, Interpol can only be involved, for example, if they're asked for assistance by an internationally organized group, or they can step in when domestic terrorists cross national borders as fugitives. They have shifted focus over the years. Even though they still do focus on terrorism, they have been much more active, according to the 2022 annual report, in the areas of corruption, financial crimes, and scams, as we discussed in our pig butchering episode. So they list three major operations in 2022, which is the last annual report that I could access. So these operations focused exclusively on financial crimes, much of which is cyber and illicit money flows by organized crime groups, including the romance scams that we discussed. Yeah, so they do sometimes launch special investigations. So 2023 was their, you know, 100-year anniversary. And so they launched this operation called Operation Identify Me, and it sought the public's help in identifying 22 women who were believed to have been murdered in Belgium, Germany, and the Netherlands.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and so the fun, I have a fun fact, but actually you can go on the website and you can look at the information about all of these women, and they're just trying to get the public's help in identifying them.
So do they think these crimes are connected, or are these just like...
It's hard to say. They tell you that there's information that they're kind of leaving out, but they're giving you descriptions of the women and identifying tattoos and that kind of thing, just to try to help identify them. But there's obviously information they're not disclosing. Like how they died, for example. Some of them do, or like found in a canal or something like that. But the fun fact is that they have a video on the website about this project with the hashtag IdentifyMe featuring Carice Van Houten. And she says her name differently, but it's Dutch. She's a Dutch actress, and I cannot say her name the way that she does. But you may remember her as Melisandre. Was her name Melisandre?
I always said it Melisandre.
Melisandre. Yeah, it's been so long since I've watched Game of Thrones, I don't even remember. But Melisandre is not a point of view character in the first four George R.R. Martin novels. This is just a like a weird nerd fact. But her actions are witnessed and interpreted through other characters, such as Davos Seaworth.
Oh, Sir Davos the Beloved. Yeah. I remember Melisandre from, I never read the books, but I think she showed up in like season two. But she was like that, like the witch, and she had that necklace, and like when she took the necklace off, she was like really old.
Yeah. So I thought that was cool that they got her, the actress, to participate in this video.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, because she's well known for other roles. I was looking through her IMDb and I was like, oh, I did not know that.
Have you been watching House of the Dragon?
I have, of course.
Season two.
Yeah.
Disappointing ending.
Okay.
Have you finished it?
Yes, I have.
First half of the season was fire. Second half of the season.
I mean, people just wanted action in the last scene, right? But if you remember Game of Thrones, they definitely set up future seasons. They didn't really end with...
But back to the, this point, there is a character in season two who kind of reminds me of Melisandre. So there's like this witchy character, Alice, at Harrenhal, who's like helping Daemon with his boring mopey visions or whatever.
I'm so but glad anyway. We get to nerd out on Game of Thrones because we have in your episodes mm-hmm. before nerded out on Star Trek a little bit.
Oh, for sure.
But I bring up Davos Seaworth because it's the name of my cat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's why I said the beloved. He's not the beloved in the show, but he's the beloved in your...
In my heart.
In my heart, vicariously.
Yes. Sir Davos Seaworth of Flea Bottom.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, back to Interpol, now that we've talked about Game of the Thrones and dragons and stuff. what are some problems or concerns with Interpol?
So, like the ICC, they claim political neutrality and by mandate are barred from interventions or activities that are political, military, religious, or racial in nature. Mm-hmm. And they barred themselves from getting involved in disputes over such matters. Mm. Like, it's part of their constitution.
Yeah.
But they do represent the police globally. Like, that's what they state. Mm-hmm. And that makes them essentially representatives of the state, right? So in non-democratic regimes, having a strong security sector contributes to brutal repression and not the safety and security of ordinary citizens. Mm. So they've been criticized for that. They've been criticized for politically motivated arrests. Even the UN High Commissioner for Refugees criticized them for arresting mm-hmm. refugees mm-hmm. because of Interpol's request at borders. Gotcha. And these are people who have been granted mm-hmm. refugee status in the EU.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, it's not like Interpol sets rules for the police, but rather they kind of just like work as support for police in whatever state they're in. So if you've got like a brutal police regime in a state, then the Interpol just kind of does what the brutal police regime needs help with and wants them to do.
Exactly. Gotcha. And they can use Interpol mm-hmm. to target people, mm-hmm. right? Because once you have a red notice on someone, it goes out to all countries. Mm-hmm. And not everyone knows that the red notice on this person, this internationally mm-hmm. wanted person, is an activist that just mm-hmm. made the government mm-hmm. angry or something like that. So targets typically include political opponents, but mm-hmm. non-democratic states also use Interpol to harass journalists, human rights activists, mm-hmm. and businessmen. The countries accused of abusing the agency include, usual suspects, China, Russia, but also the UAE, mm-hmm. Iran, Turkey, Kazakhstan, Belarus, Venezuela, and Tunisia. And that's not the whole list. Yeah. So
just the worst offenders, the top 10.
There are lots of countries that do it. The UAE was also accused of attempting to buy influence in Interpol. Mm. Interpol has a foundation that you can make donations to support their work, just like we do. and theirs is called the Interpol Foundation for a Safer World. Mm-hmm. The UAE gave $54 million, which is a lot because it's actually equal to contributions made by the rest of the 194 members. Mm-hmm. So essentially one country made a contribution that is equal or equivalent to the rest of what the over 100 countries did.
Just trying to buy their influence, huh?
Buying influence.
Well, you mentioned like same foundation. So UAE, if you're listening, give us $54 million.
Yes.
And we'll do a good episode on you.
We sure will.
So like us who are willing to be bribed.
Right.
And like the ICC, one of the primary criticisms is that Interpol operates politically?
Correct. So for example, they are prohibited again by their constitution of interfering politically, but they do respond to requests from member countries such as Russia, who requested that Ukrainian nationalist paramilitary leader Dmytro Yarosh be placed on their international wanted list, which made him the only person wanted internationally after the beginning of the conflict between Ukraine and Russia in 2014.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
No.
So, anything else?
No, it's a good thing we're at the end of this episode because I'm losing my voice, but we're just going to keep this in there.
Well, while you still have just a few parts of your voice left, let's wrap it up with our minute to spin it. So, Tommy, in just a minute, what's your spin?
When states control the police and the courts, they're going to reflect the objectives and values of the state itself. So while it's great that Interpol focuses on corruption as one of the areas, it still doesn't address corruption at the state level. That being said, overall, there has been a lack of focus on environmental crime, which is a concern because environmental crime, specifically like the wildlife trade, is estimated to represent the world's third largest illegal trade.
That would actually be a really cool episode to do on our own. Like,
I'm putting that on the list. Nice, I love that. Idea.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, no, great, great idea. Mm-hmm. But Interpol has made efforts to change that, and they've promised to work on environmental crime more. Also, if you ever find yourself in Lyon, France, you can visit the souvenir shop at the Interpol headquarters and buy yourself some swag.
Nice.
I did that. And then left the bag at the bus stop as I was giving out cash to the students. And so somebody stole it.
Oh, bummer.
Ben, what's your spin?
Interpol's gonna get ya. 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 Interpol's gonna get ya.
That's a good one.
And I'm going to do this like 12 more times. And okay. No, I'm just kidding. Okay.
That's not, a really good one.
Well, thanks. I like that. But it actually sounds like Gloria Estefan's rhythm has a much better chance of getting you than Interpol does. Yes, anyway. Yeah, I mean, it fits with the words, but doesn't fit with what Interpol does. It sounds like their role and effectiveness are definitely exaggerated in movies. Although I can't like point to a specific one. I've definitely got the impression from movies that Interpol was like this international police force tracking down bad guys and stuff. And that's obviously not what they do. They aren't spies. They aren't assassins. They aren't like super agents or police officers. And like you said, it's concerning that they often carry out the wishes or directives of, you know, corrupt states and brutal police regimes. So do better, Interpol. Don't be arresting refugees, please. Yeah.
We are a community-driven podcast sponsored by the Gandhi Center and produced by JMU Libraries. If you've listened this far, reach out to us on Instagram at just_a_minute_pod, and we'll send you a t-shirt. Check out our website, link in show notes, to see how you can support our educational programming.